Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding and very important show for you today. But first, I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible.
The Battleship, USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens. Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline as well. And we have the Admiral on board with us.
Okay, great. We want to thank all our sponsors and our great listeners. We could not do this without your support. Please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. We've got a packed show coming up for you tonight, so if we can't get to everything, you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. Coming up later, we'll talk with Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council. He'll get us up to speed on how the coronavirus is impacting our local veterans and VSOs. We'll also speak with our sea lawyer, Colin Kimmerly, on the virus's impact on the legal situations for our veterans. And, of course, Tom's tirade on the war of the words. You don't want to miss it. But first, it is an honor to be joined on SBN by Admiral Kent Davis, the Commissioner of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. Admiral, thank you for joining us, and welcome back to SBN.
Oh, it's great. Great to be on the air with you.
Admiral, it's an extreme pleasure to be able to talk to you again. Give us a little bit of rundown about how the department is approaching this new pandemic.
Yeah, these are crazy times, there's no doubt. So like just about every government agency, we've had to make adjustments and take precautionary measures. So I'll just run through a few of them very quickly. So our veteran service offices, given the guidelines, you know, we're supposed to be practicing social distancing. We have closed those offices to public visits, but we are still providing services out of them by telephone. And every county-based veteran service office has a phone number that veterans can contact, either that individual veteran service office or we'll have a district manager follow up. And we can provide still some limited claims service for great veterans around the state. But just because of the social distancing measure, we had to close them off to public visiting, and a lot of times we would have a lot of people congregate in those offices.
All right, just a chance for them to get together and shoot the breeze and talk about each other's problems.
Yeah, absolutely. It's painful to see what we're having to do, but you know, you got to make tough choices sometimes, and we're following both the orders put out by the governor and the advice put out by the coronavirus task force, and we're following those meticulously. We just have to be very careful in protecting the public health and safety of our clients. You got to remember, a lot of our clients are getting up in age. Some of them have chronic health conditions, and that puts them at pretty great risk during this situation. So it's as much to protect our clients out there right now as our own employees, but we're worried about both of them.
Sure, and it's neat to see that you guys are making that concentrated effort to handle all that. Now, we know that the virus seems to impact our seniors a lot with greater severity. What are you guys doing, and what measures are you taking at our state veterans' homes?
Yeah, great question. A lot. So we have 4 state veterans' homes spread around the state, all the way from Huntsville in the north up in the north part of the state down to Bay Minette, not too far from you guys.
Right, Green Home.
Yeah. We're planning a 5th veterans' home in Enterprise that we're going to start construction on here pretty soon. But we're taking a lot of efforts there. In fact, we tried to get ahead of the power curve, as we say in the military, by really protecting the residents of those homes. Again, the COVID-19 virus is really a risk for elderly population and those with chronic health issues. Well, that describes the vast majority of the people in our state veterans' homes. So as early as March 12th, we started severely limiting visits to those state veterans' homes. So right now, we've pretty much shut off outside visits. The only outside visits we're allowing are medically necessary visits, because sometimes we do have to call in medical professionals from outside the state veterans' homes, or we do provide compassionate visits. If we have a resident who is terminally ill and at end of life, of course we want to make compromise and allow family members to come in and visit their family member who might be passing away. But everybody that comes into those state veterans' homes, whether they're an outside medical professional, those end-of-life special occasions, which are pretty rare, and our own staff, every time they come into that facility through a single point of entry, they are screened with questions, their temperature taken, and in some cases, we have to do extra screening of those people based on the answers they give, or if there's any indication they could have had contact with anybody who has possible symptoms of COVID-19. So we're taking pretty extraordinary measures. Now, those are the external visitation measures we're taking at the state veterans' homes. Inside the homes, our nursing staff are taking additional mitigation measures based on guidance from the Centers for Disease Control, the Alabama Department of Public Health. So we really upped our infectious disease control procedures internally in those state veterans' homes. And there's any indication that any of our residents have even the slightest hint of symptoms, we have procedures to do special screening of them. We do have isolation rooms in our state veterans home with negative pressure systems. So we are being diligent as possible, but also trying to be compassionate and understanding that family members do want to see their loved ones.
Right.
So our staff is become experts on things like FaceTime, Facebook, and Skype to make sure that we're linking family members up with their loved ones so that they can stay in contact somehow.
Is there any particular websites, phone numbers, or anything that you would like to generate at this time for people that may need to call or be checking on something?
Yeah, absolutely. If they go to our website, which is va.alabama.gov, on our homepage, we have a link to the precautionary measures that we're taking in all of our state Department of Veterans Affairs facilities, not just the state veterans homes. It includes the cemetery, those veteran service offices, and at our headquarters facilities here in Montgomery. Last night, I posted about a 10-minute video that just gives a synopsis of all the precautionary measures we're taking, asking for everyone's patience as we get through this. And it also has links in that video and in our website to email addresses and phone numbers they can call. We want to stress to people, even though we can't do things as normal right now, given the situation, if there's a veteran out there who has especially an emergency, they need to contact us. We will help them somehow. Right. We might not be able to get to the routine stuff for a little while, but if someone has one of those troublesome situations, whether it's a problem with a claim or they've got a deadline looming or something like that, please reach out to us. I guarantee you we will take care of you.
I can assure you that this gentleman will handle it. I have been so enthused with his initiative and the way he's handled the facilities since he's became in charge of it. We're just proud to have you on board, Admiral.
Well, thanks so much. The kind of you say, I know Lou is going to be on the show in a little while. I believe he's going to talk about our cemetery in Spanish
right.
Fort. Is that correct?
We will. And yes, and I'm a member of the Marine Corps League, and we have some downline information from D.C. on what we're even entitled to do or able to do. So, but it's been a extreme pleasure to have you on board. We'll get you back on.
Well, thanks so much. You reach out if you need anything at all, and you know I mean that sincerely.
I do, sir, and thank you. We appreciate you. But as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Mr. Lou Lartigue with the South Alabama Veterans Council when we return on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And it's a privilege to be speaking with Mr. Lou Lartigue with the South Alabama Veterans Council. Lou, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your service.
Thanks, Cal. Thanks, Tom, for having me on.
Oh, man, it's really neat to have you on. We had the pleasure there of having Admiral Davis on a while ago to give us an insight on what's happening around the state with our VA scenario. But what we would like to do now is try to cover what's happening locally to some of our events. And one of the other things that we wanted to cover that he didn't get a chance to cover was our cemetery over in Spanish Fort. So we can move forward with that if you want to get started with what is happening with the DOD and some of the things that they've postponed.
Well, just to very briefly, the DOD just came out the other day with a thing for the active duty and National Guard and reserves that are on active duty, that they are postponing all medical and dental elective procedures. And I think that's kind of standard going on everywhere. Someone told me today that even the hospitals here in Mobile,
right, they are
kind of getting thin.
Yeah.
Because they are starting to cancel all of these elective procedures. So DOD is hunkering down on that a little bit. But yeah, talking about the cemetery, Tony Ross and his guys over there, Joe and their team, are doing a great job. And averaging over 30 funerals a month, and they have limited, based on the governor's guidance and the admiral's direction, have limited the amount of people who can come together for a burial to 10, and they've also cut back on all of the veteran service organizations' honor guards who provide
right.
the final services for these guys.
Right.
But even though veteran cemetery has restricted that, in contacting some of the VSO's honor guards, they are still performing final services for our veterans at local cemeteries and on a case-by-case basis. And that also includes the PGR, who does the flag lines and stuff.
Right.
You know, it's a case-by-case basis, and they're trying to
do the six-foot
rule and not having their team come in close contact
right.
With the participants.
That is so true. We had the funeral for one of our Marine Corps League detachments' wives at Serenity this past week. And it was, you know, they wanted to restrict it to 10 to 25 people at all. And it, you know, it was that way. But we as the Marine Corps League Detachment were there and actually acted as pallbearers. So we were able to handle that phase of the
funeral. And like I say, this is going on a case-by-case basis. But they're trying to provide those honors for our veterans as they go down the road. So my hat's off to Post 250, 164 out of Citronelle, and the guys over at Spanish Fort who are doing this all over the Mobile-Baldwin County area. They do a great job.
They do. It's like 250, I understand, and done something like 250, 300 funerals last year.
They had about 108 and funerals, and when you really look at it, it's a lot. It's a lot, and whenever you have to, you only get about 24 hours notice,
right.
Well, and then you got to come up with a team of a minimum of 10 folks.
Sure.
And most of us old boys are, either doctor's appointments or honeydews it's hard to get. Have to have a standing team of 25
sure.
or 30 guys to be able to
some of our people with the P.L. Wilson Detachment Marine Corps League are participants in that and that honor guard. But, you know, not only do they do the funerals, but, you know, you do some other flag presentations and honor guards at other events and all.
It gets closer to
200
events.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. But now, the VA clinic, as I understand, is still open, but it's for very few things.
Well, no, they're still trying to do business as normal. I talked with the folks over there briefly this afternoon. They're encouraging people to use the VA Video Connect system, which is the telemedicine, telehealth, to actually conduct the stuff. You can still call in and get appointments. But what they're trying to encourage is if you don't need to be there,
right.
don't come there.
Right. Oh, so true.
You know, another one of those social distancing and everything else is being put out about that.
Well,
but they are still, you know, open for business.
Oh, yeah, I have an appointment in the morning at the lab. They're going to check to see if I'm still alive, I guess, and see if my blood's still moving. But I did have an appointment for my eyeball covers, better known as glasses, and they did put that off, I think, until July or September, October, somewhere in there. So we'll have to see how that works later on. But the lady said that any lab work or any appointments that you have that was confirmed by the telephone in the last few days, that is still a viable deal, so make sure you make your appointments tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. And they're trying to do as much as they can, but it's a changing situation. When talking with Leanne today, she said, you know, it changes daily with what they're confronted with, both on a clinic and a regional area. And so best thing to do is to call in and check and try to do the telemedicine routine. But, you know, therein lies another issue. When you look at all of everybody trying to do all this stuff on the Internet, where people are going to GoToMeeting, Ring Central, Zoom, and all of these things where they're trying to meet online and do all of this stuff online, boy, the computer systems are the airways have just gotten clogged.
Yeah, you would think it'd get thick as fog out there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and that's causing some issues with the VA, but they're trying to overcome them as they move through it. But it is really, you know, when you do a teleconference, the bandwidth it takes to do that in something like Zoom or GoToMeeting or something like that where you got a video connection, well, it's really tough.
That's true. But now also we've got the American Legion post are closed. I guess the VFWs are closed.
Well, the VFW has put out some guidance from the state area, and they're going by what they have been directed to do out of the governor's office, and which is pretty straightforward in that, hey, the governor's order applies. You know, in other words, whether you're a private or a lounge, a club, a restaurant license holder, which in effect includes the VFW canteens and American Legion canteens and everything as restaurants. They have to close.
That's right.
They can only do curbside support there. And that don't mean you go in and go on the patio outside and eat and drink. That means you get it and go.
No, they don't interpret that the way that you and I would.
No, exactly. So it is putting a little bit of a damper on the some of the VSOs who have canteens and restaurant operations, but and you know they still held to the 25 member. You can only have 25 people, and they have to maintain the 6-foot thing.
All right.
And the VFW is put out some pretty clear guidance on you know utilizing these. You know, GoToMeeting and other capabilities.
Thank you, Lou. Appreciate it, brother.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. Excuse me.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that help make this show possible, the Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And it is always an honor to be joined by our legal eagle, Colin Kimberly, from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. Colin, welcome back to SBN.
Thank you, Cal. It's been a little bit of time since I've been on, so it's a pleasure to be back with y'all tonight.
I'll tell you, we're sitting here talking about all the things that's happening to our veterans and all the places being closed down and all. How is our fabulous law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly working? How are you guys getting through this?
We are open. That's the good thing. We are continuing to help our veterans, both in Alabama and throughout the Gulf Coast. You know, I do have most of my people working remote, but, you know, we are still taking and talking to veterans and reviewing cases and taking new veterans on to help them every day, and we're happy to do so.
Colin, with that being said, have the courts and the people, the judges or whoever that you guys present the cases to, have those phases of the VA, have they shut down or what, where are we at there?
You know, it's amazing. Actually, I did get a decision from the Court of Appeals from Veterans Claims this week. We were able to get a favorable decision for one of our veterans.
Awesome. Yes.
That we represent. So that's great. So they're still working. And, you know, a lot of that work, I think we've talked about over the years, a lot of the work is done just by writing. You know, we submit briefs and we submit arguments to the court and they review them and make decisions. So a lot of that continues. And the court definitely is open up in Washington and they are handling cases. We actually filed a couple of cases this week to get going with for some veterans. So I'm happy to say that they're going. Now, a lot of times I deal with lower agency, the Board of Veterans Appeals, and then the regional office. I can say that I'm still getting mail every day from the regional office. We're still getting decisions from the board. We're still getting contact from the board about hearings being scheduled in the future. So, yes, they are actually open and working, too, I'm happy to say.
Well, that's awesome to know that that hasn't actually shut down. I'm sure they're doing, as you guys are doing, and your people, a lot of them are probably working from home.
Yeah, they are.
All right. So, well, you know, I was just not looking for the dang people to shut down. There's enough delays as it is anyway. And I was just hoping that they wouldn't shut down for these two or three months or however long it's going to take us to get through this viral crisis. And, you know, it was just another – I was looking that they would just have another damn excuse, you know?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say it's not going to slow down. I mean, for right now, the past 2 weeks, we're still going pretty much full steam. But, you know, I do expect that there may be a little bit of a slowdown on it, but I think they'll still continue to work. And we're still in contact with people at the VA every day.
Okay.
But from our remote locations, talking to people, and I'm still getting decisions, like I said. So
that's awesome.
You know, we're still working hard, and you know, they are too. So that's a good thing on everybody's part.
Yeah. For our brothers and sisters out there, veterans that may have decided now, since all this is going on, they want to go ahead and file their claims or file a claim for their disabilities or you know, to appeal a claim that they've already had denied through maybe the DAV or something, then they could still do that.
Absolutely. They can contact us. You know, our phone, of course, is 251-343-1111. That's been that way over 30 years, about 30 years. So they can always call us, and we will pick up the phone and start the conversation with them, get into what we need to get from them or get to us. And nowadays, a lot of people, I mean, I had one person actually just take their phone and take pictures of their decision and send it to me. So we'll find a way to get the information that I need to evaluate the cases and tell the veteran what, you know, what we can do for them or what they need to do to process the appeal, either the appeal or the application.
Well, in that regard, now, if they are computer literate, to where they could, you know, send you an email or something, and would that still work as well?
Absolutely. And I had somebody that I took this week that basically emailed me their decision, and I emailed them the paperwork that they needed to sign. They signed it, scanned it, and sent it right back to us. So, and then we emailed it into the VA. I mean, that's, you know, luckily, I will give you this, and this you're not going to hear this a lot from me, but the VA, the way they're doing their technology is actually coming up to the 21st century, I guess you can say.
That is awesome.
They're doing a lot of virtual hearings now. People, veterans, will hear the term virtual hearing. What does that mean? Basically, now that means that we can sit in my office in Mobile, Alabama, and we can talk to the judge in D.C. And I actually had one attorney last week, who she sat in her office, the veteran sat in their home on their phone, and the judge was in Washington, and the three of them did a hearing.
That's just friggin' awesome.
Forward a case to do a hearing so that the veteran could get the benefits that they deserve. I mean, the VA did step up. You know, they all have apps, and a lot of people are familiar with apps. If they're not, their grandkids are familiar with apps. But there's a way that they could link the three of them together to do a virtual hearing to get the hearing completed so that the case could move forward and the veteran could get their benefits.
That's going to speed up the process.
Unbelievable. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, everywhere across the country, they'll be able to do that. And it really will speed up the process. And the VA, you know, we talk about the VA and how slow they are in doing things, but on the virtual hearings and the way they're doing that, I see them moving pretty quickly on that. So that's a good thing.
That's neat. That will cut out a lot of the backlog and be a lot more efficient and quicker.
Right. I agree. And you know, in our office, certainly Garberg and Kimberly, we're prepared to do it. We're prepared to move forward. I got an incredible staff that works with me. The attorneys, the staff people, they're just top-notch, and they're able to move these cases and help the veterans. We want to keep doing it.
That's awesome. Yeah, they're all very knowledgeable because that's what they do. You know, that's right. Their job. It's not like they're handling 25 other kinds of cases and stuff around, you know.
Right.
But, all right, the phone numbers again and email address, anything that would need to be out there?
The phone number, of course, is 251-343-1111. The website, which I know is on the Scuttlebutt site, but it's also www.gardberglaw, which is all one word, GardBerglaw.com. If you want to contact me directly, it's the first initial of my name, which is C. My last name is Kimmerly, KEMMERLY, at GardbergLaw.com.
Awesome. Appreciate you being on board here tonight with us, brother. Keep going. Keep doing a fine job.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Cal.
And all your fine people that are working with you. One of the things that we wanted to bring out to the rest of our vets and all here, too, is the fact that, you know, all this stuff is going on, and we don't have a lot of ways to check with who that are, you know, like they was talking about a while ago, where we could go somewhere and sit. A bunch of us guys used to go to McDonald's. A bunch of us went to the Waffle House, and we all sit and congregated and talked and got all of our stuff squared away. But we also saw all of our friends. And one of the things that we see happening now is that we have to actually have buddy checks going on by all of these vets. I've got 2 or 3 calls today myself about it. And, you know, if you got some buddies that you normally go have coffee with, some vets that you're worried about, get on the phone, call them, see if they're all right, man, and check them out. And we're going to, man, it messed me up because I talked to a guy today. But anyway, we'll return shortly.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun. Here they come, zooming to me.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
The date was October the 30th, 1938. Children across the country were preparing for an evening of trick-or-treating. The nation was on edge with the growing threat of a newly resurgent Germany on the European continent and an economy still in the throes of the Great Depression. Many Americans had become reliant on the radio as their main source of what we would call breaking news today. With FDR's fireside chats, a reassuring tweet, check that, a tweet from the White House in otherwise turbulent times. Americans also tuned to their radios for their major source of entertainment, with popular shows such as The Chase and Sanborn Hour, with Edgar Bergen providing them with a bit of escape from their daily grind. The Mercury Theater on Air was a weekly radio broadcast which performed live theater over the air. On this evening, Mercury Theater aired a radio adaptation of H.G. Wells' novel, The War of the Worlds, narrated and directed by actor and future filmmaker Orson Welles. The live broadcast began at 8 p.m. over the Columbia Broadcasting System radio network as a typical evening of radio programming, with live music being interrupted by a series of news bulletins, first describing a series of odd explosions on Mars, followed by a seemingly unrelated report of an unusual object falling on a farm in Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Eventually, the situation escalates as Martians emerge from the object and attack using a heat ray, which a reporter describes until his audio feed goes dead. The broadcast continues with the U.S. military unable to stop the Martians, who go on to gas New York City and occupy Earth. Whale's War of the Worlds broadcast has become famous for supposedly tricking some of its listeners into believing that a Martian invasion was actually taking place due to the breaking news style of storytelling employed in the first half of the show. The panic that ensued had listeners across the nation calling into local radio and police stations. In the days after the broadcast, widespread outrage was expressed in the media, with accusations from newspapers and politicians that the format of the broadcast was deceptive. Nonetheless, it secured Wells' fame as a dramatist. Fast forward to today, where we are now roughly 3 weeks into the coronavirus pandemic that has gripped the nation and the world. Ironically enough, the beginnings of the current situation started far from our shores, in the Wuhan area of China. Apparently, in something called a, quote, wet market, called the Hunan Seafood Wholesale Market, where apparently fresh off the boat means actually selling live animals alongside the catch of the day. It is thought that the virus possibly originated in horseshoe bats, which apparently have been forced to become amphibians due to global warming and might have been on sale as a specialized accessory for the live horses available for sale at the same market. Just kidding. Nonetheless, since the Trump administration's first announcements on the Wuhan flu on February the 29th, the stock market has fallen in ways not seen since the days before Orson's broadcast, and the United States has seen itself thrown into a state of hysteria not seen since the Cuban Missile Crisis, when students were told that somehow crawling under their desk could save them from a nuclear bomb. I mean, come on. We here along the Gulf Coast are acutely aware of the preparations for imminent danger, as we are on the front lines of Hurricane Alley. We are the hardy souls who fill bathtubs with water, stockpile batteries, test the generator each month, making sure the propane tanks are full, and actually know how to cook the food from the freezer before it goes bad. No snowflakes here, brother. And so I am astounded at the reaction of the average American to this virus, which according to most reports is somewhere between the common cold and the flu, although it seems to be more fatal to folks in my generation. According to current numbers, the U.S. has had about 35,000 cases with just over 400 deaths. In comparison, the swine flu, which occurred under Obama in 2009, killed more than 12,000. Of course, we cannot verify the citizenship status of all those fatalities. Walking into local stores on Thursday of last week, I was greeted with aisles of empty toiletries. Why? I mean, come on. Reality is that everyone at this point needs to take heed from the THC toilet paper meme and just calm that down. Many of you will recall in the aftermath of the terrorist attacks of 9/11 that after the initial stock market shutdown and sports, primarily Major League Baseball, resumed after a pause, we were told by President Bush and others to go about our daily lives, spend money to keep the economy afloat in the face of this terrorist assault on our freedoms. So, listener, why are we now being told to practice social distancing and shutter our businesses? Really? Why do we need the federal government, or even worse, the state and local Soviets, telling us what we can and cannot do? Have we become such a nation of sheep that we cannot be left to choose for ourselves what is in our best interest? History tells us that nothing good happens when such government intervention occurs. Moreover, as we stride further down this murky path, we must remember that those on the left and the right are acutely aware of how to not let a good crisis go to waste. Case in point, we now have politicians such as Comrade de Blasio out of New York saying that the government needs to take over certain industries and supply chains. Little orphan AOC saying now is the time to guarantee incomes to all Americans. And crazy commie Bernie claiming that Medicare for All would solve the crisis. Never mind that Italy, which has now passed China in the pandemic paranoia, already has universal health care. What? What? Universal health care? They already have that? But never let facts get in the way of your agenda. Let me be clear, as someone in the high-risk category, I understand the health risk associated with the Wuhan flu. And it is my sincere desire that no one has to endure the worst that the virus can dish out. However, I also believe that we are teetering on the precipice of losing our liberty when we allow the government and the media to whip us into a panic frenzy, which has us fighting over toilet paper as if it was a big screen TV at Walmart on Black Friday. I mean, come on. We are better than that as a nation, as individuals, and as human beings. We should be looking to help each other, not wait for the government to do it for us. Remember, after Katrina, it was the sheep who listened to the government who were hung out to dry in New Orleans, not the rugged individuals along the Mississippi coast who woke up the next day to clean up and move forward together. We are the strongest, most resilient nation in the world, financially, morally, and spiritually. And I'll be damned if we will allow ourselves to be led down the path of more government dependence because of a virus that thus far has a 0.01 mortality rate in the U.S. 0.01. In fact, I believe that it will be the engines of freedom and free markets that will allow the United States to find the path to a vaccine against the Wuhan flu. And once again, it will be the United States, the beacon of freedom and hope, that will save the world from itself. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. How about tell you how happy I am that Waffle House hasn't closed?
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and streaming live on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, some good sentiments there in the tirade. I've heard differing opinions. I've got friends in the New York area that are I'm seriously worried about this because it's such a hot spot.
Right.
But, you know, you find people in areas where they're just going, you know, wait a minute, why can't I go to work? Why can't I go to the Waffle House right now and hang out? Right. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out going forward. Just an interesting note for the listeners out there. You started the tirade with the whole thing about the war of the world. And some people may be familiar with it. They may not. After the aliens took over the planet, it was the common cold that killed them all because right. They didn't have immunity to it.
Yeah, right. You know, but people don't remember that. So, you know, the common cold killed our enemy.
And, you know, yeah. So, you know, the thing here is we've got to look out for each other. Like you were saying earlier, if you know a veteran that normally you would see in a social setting, go and check on them. Just make sure they're in good shape.
Right.
Yep. But, it's interesting times that we're in, Tom.
It is. And, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care of our brother vets and the other senior citizens that we have around that we know that may not be able to take care of themselves.
Absolutely. And just, you know, that use some common sense that we normally would use. But that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans. We thank you for joining us. Please join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!